Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good luck to you. December 15th, Bertie County Board of Commissioners meeting. We will now have roll call by Madam Clerk.
Chair Corey Balance.
Present.
Vice Chair Lewis Hoggard.
Present.
Commissioner Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders. Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you so much. At this time, I'm going to call on Commissioner Robinson to lead us in our invocation and pledge of allegiance.
Let us pray, please. Our Father, we thank you this day for all the blessings. It's that season to say, thank you, Lord, for all blessings that you have blessed us throughout the year of 2025. Please continue to bless not only Bertie County, but the whole world. Please, Jesus, please let peace be still in our nation. Amen.
Amen.
Allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Robinson.
You're welcome, Chairman.
At this time, we will yield to County Manager Warren Vaughn to carry out our election of chairman and election of vice chairman.
Good evening, commissioners, staff, and citizens of Bertie County. At this time, I will preside over the election or selection of chairman and vice chairman for the 2026 year for the Bertie County Board of Commissioners. Pursuant to General Statute 153A-39, which states, selection of chairman and vice chairman, powers and duties, on one, the first Monday in December of each even numbered year, and two, its first regular meeting in December of each odd numbered year, the Board of Commissioners shall choose one of its members as chairman for the ensuing year, unless the chairman is elected as such by the people or otherwise designated by law. The board shall also at that time choose a vice chairman to act or disability of the chairman. If the chairman and the vice chairman are both absent from a meeting of the board, the members present may choose a temporary chairman. The chairman is the presiding officer of the Board of Commissioners. Unless excused by rule of the board, the presiding officer has the duty to vote on any question before the board, but he has no right to break a tie vote in which he participated. At this time, the floor is open for nomination for chairman of the Bertie County Board of Commissioners for the 2026 calendar year.
Mr. Manager, I made the motion that both officers stay the same. Move into fiscal year 2026.
Okay, so I have a nomination for chairman for Corey Balance and vice chairman Lewis Hoggard. Are there any other nominations? If there are no nominations, we will proceed with the roll call vote for Commissioner Corey Balance as chairman. All right, and I'll start with Commissioner Robertson.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoggard?
Yay.
Commissioner Balance?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
And Commissioner Saunders?
Yes.
Congratulations, Chairman Corey Balance. You are the chairman of 2026 calendar year.
Thank you.
At this time, I will do a roll call vote for Commissioner Lewis Hoggard for vice chairman of the Bertie County Board of Commissioners for 2026. Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoggard?
For sure, yes.
Commissioner, Chairman Balance?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
And Commissioner Saunders? Yes. Congratulations, Vice Chairman Hoggard. You are the Vice Chairman of the Bercy County Board of Commissioners 2026. At this time, we'll have a 5-minute recess. We will have comments from the county.
Okay, we're now in recess.
We really don't need it, so we'll come back out. Say we don't have to move or do anything.
Right, okay. We are now back out of recess and moving forward with the with the meeting. Normally, the recess would allow us to switch positions to the proper chair and vice chair, but since this is remaining the same, no need for the recess. But I would like to take a moment and thank the board for considering me and feeling that I'm worthy to stay the course as we move forward. And again, I say thank you to the board and the citizens. Any more comments? Commissioners?
No more than to say thanks to the board. Appreciate you having that confidence in me. Let's move forward. Everybody don't like it, but that's the way it is.
Any more comments?
That was you. Okay.
So at this time, we'll move to public comments. Okay. Thank you so much. So we'll now move along to our reports and appointments, the presentation of the TDA quarterly report, and the launching of Eastern North Carolina Film Commission by Laura Orsini.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, thank you for being here tonight. As the chair of the TDA, it is my responsibility to come before you all and give you a quarterly report. And you should have this in your packet.
Going by the early date, it was December 1st, which should have been the meeting, so that's why I stayed a couple weeks ago. The first thing we did was we took your approval to implement add four new seats to the TDA board, and we have done that. So we now have 11 members, and we are moving ahead with rigor. Financial occupancy tax, we've started collecting, and I've just received a brand new report from Jody. Within one quarter, we have collected thus far $7,429.35. Our plan for, we have also started developing committees. And one of the committees, the most important committee, is the Finance Committee. And the goal of that committee is to create a budget so that we can plan what we're gonna do with this money. We are required to spend at least 2/3 of it on advertising for the county. Our plan was not to develop a budget until we hit the $5,000 threshold. We clearly have surpassed that now. So that's gonna be the next piece that we will move on. Our next meeting is tomorrow. So timing is just a little bit backwards on it. Otherwise I would have more to say about that. We are having a little bit of an issue with Airbnb reporting, as I'm sure Commissioner White is familiar with. They don't give us breakdowns, details, who paid, how much, any of that stuff. Jody has spent hours trying to figure this stuff out. We're still working on it. He's called a lot of people, and to my knowledge, I don't think there's anything new on that yet, but we will continue to pursue getting as many details as we can so that we can be accurate in all of our reporting. As I mentioned, we are working on committees, finance, festivals, visitor centers, historic preservation. We are working on finishing and launching two websites. One will be the Bertie County TDA site, which is the business of the TDA. All of the members, the reporting form, the finances, as much as we are able to say publicly, our meeting schedules, all that kind of stuff. And then we will keep Destination Bertie, which has been developed as our brand. And so that is going to be the tourism site. So that's the place where the itineraries will live, where all the fun things to do in Bertie County, come and, you know, ride a pontoon boat or tour Hope or whatever it is you want, I'll do, that will show up there on the Destination Bertie site. We are also investigating the possibility of creating a visitor center right as you enter Bertie County on the 17th. In the area of where the old ABC store is and the old
Abrams.
Yeah, that area. So we're looking into it, doing research, trying to figure out what comes next, whether it's the state, tourism department, who we have to talk to. So those questions are being researched right now. I will have more to say on that the next time that I report to them. So pretty much that's it. You can read the details in the letter here. Secondly, I'm here to represent the Pecan Pickling Film Festival Chair Patricia Ferguson and tell you a little bit about the film commission that you all said yes to a while ago. And I'm sorry I don't have a lot of details on this. This is a kind of a last minute piece that I was given to do. So the film commission was okay. We have seven counties. Wish I could tell you who they are. I honestly goodness don't have the names of all of them. However, I can say this. We will have a meeting at the River Center here in Windsor on Wednesday, March 11th at 1 o'clock. And that'll be the first meeting of all the counties coming together to decide and discuss what's next for this part of North Carolina as it pertains to filmmaking. I think that filmmaking, you may all have seen, there was a post on Facebook yesterday, Fox News is reporting that three films are being filmed, that are being shot in North Carolina right now as we speak. Filmmaking is not dead here. Filmmaking is very much alive here, and we are looking to encourage that and keep it going. That's what I got on that. So thank you for hearing me. Do you have any questions?
I have a question, though.
Yes, please.
I know this is not county related, but the tree houses with the town of Windsor, is there any kind of correspondence with you guys?
Correspondence.
Do y'all talk? I mean, as far as
well, Alan Castlow is a member of our board, and
okay.
He is the person who receives the reservations for them.
Okay.
So, yes, they're involved, but I don't know if there's more to your question than that. They are a piece of it. They are lodging, so they qualify as lodging, and certainly as part of the tourism. I mean, the itineraries that we put together, at the bottom of every one, it says, hey, think about staying at a treehouse. You'll never do it anywhere else. So,
okay, cool. I was just curious.
Absolutely. We're promoting it if that's really what you're after. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hossein. Now we'll have our presentation and adoption of the Mideast Region Digital Inclusion Plan by Jamie Heath.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Okay.
My name is Jamie Heath. I'm a planner with the Mideast Commission Council of Governments. For those of you who don't know me, I'll be here with you this evening. So I'm here to present the Mideast Region Digital Inclusion Plan for you all, and you should have either received a copy of it or received a digital copy in your board packet. The plan covers the five Mideast Commission counties, which in addition to Bertie County, we have Hertford County, Martin County, Beaufort, and Cook County. The Mideast Commission was funded by Band NC, or Building a New Digital Economy in North Carolina, which is part of NC State's Institute for Emerging Issues. The goal of Band NC is to equip counties and regions with the tools to build more digitally equitable communities, and they provide technical assistance and planning capacity to support every county in developing and implementing a digital inclusion plan. Our planning process, we developed a steering committee to guide the planning process. We had a diverse range of participants, included local government, broadband support organizations, organizations serving vulnerable populations like minorities, seniors, and the reentry population, institutes of higher education, economic development, workforce development, healthcare organizations, internet service providers, cooperative extensions, social services, chambers of commerce, private businesses, faith-based organizations, and community institutions such as libraries and senior centers. In total, we had 99 steering committee members from across the region. That included participants from Bertie County. To recognize people from Bertie County that served on that committee, we had Commissioner Balance, who, in addition to representing as an elected commissioner, represented Coleraine Free Will Baptist Church. We had Mr. Ron Wesson before he retired from the board. We had Franklin Williams from Economic Development. We had Lewis Toggard, the mayor of Windsor and the director of the Chamber of Commerce. We had Rebecca Jeanette and Billy Barrow from Bertie Cooperative Extension, Jennifer Hill from Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church, Rebecca Stapleton from the Senior Center, and Daphne Little from Social Services. We thank all of those members for their service on the committee, and most members are continuing to work with us on the implementation committee as well now. The steering committee met seven times between August 2024 and May 2025. Those meetings were hybrid. They were in person at the telecenter, and a virtual option was also available. The meetings were generally 2 to 2.5 hours long, and we worked together by email between those meetings. The NC Department of Information Technology's Digital Equity Survey was used as the public survey for this planning process, and steering committee members helped gather local responses, and we had a total of 389 residents who responded to that survey. We had 3 public open houses and 2 focus groups events to obtain additional public input around digital inclusion priorities and needs in local communities. And public input was a strong driving factor in the development of the goals, objectives, implementation strategies, and priority projects in this plan. Going to give you a high-level overview of this plan. The introductory sections, we talk about our member governments. We have an executive summary. We introduce the Mideast region. We discuss the planning process and give an overview of digital inclusion planning. The vision statement for the plan is a digitally inclusive Mideast region where every individual has equitable access to affordable and reliable internet, digital skills training, essential devices and support services, fostering economic growth, education, and quality of life for all communities. The mission statement of the plan: North Carolina's Mideast region is dedicated to bridging the digital divide by ensuring that every resident, regardless of background, demographics, geography, or socioeconomic status, has equitable access to essential technology and skills needed to thrive in the digital age. By leveraging local partnerships and resources, we will provide broadband infrastructure, affordable, high-quality internet access, digital skills programs, essential devices, and support services that empower our community members to overcome barriers, enhance educational and economic opportunities, and improve their quality of life. Together, we strive to build connected and inclusive communities where every individual has the tools and opportunities to fully participate in the digital economy and society. And then we have a section where we provide data, including state and national digital inclusion data, county and regional demographic data, and county and regional digital inclusion data. We give an overview of broadband infrastructure in the region, stating that broadband is now a necessary utility rather than a luxury. Many recent projects have extended fiber broadband infrastructure to unserved areas, but there are still many rural areas in our region that have no options for high-speed internet service. It is imperative that every household, business, and organization in the region is served with reliable internet service capable of 200 megabytes per second download and 20 megabytes per second upload speeds. And once all addresses are served, areas that are currently served by cable infrastructure should be upgraded to fiber infrastructure. This is the most recent map that was available at the time that we did this plan, which shows the status of broadband infrastructure as of June 2024. And this is where it is already in the ground and services available to people. So there should be an update on this coming up out soon, and it should look better than this because there have been the closing access to broadband grant. Some of those projects were not constructed yet as of the time this came out. So that should show a lot of additional service. And then the BEAD grant is about to be released, which should fill in a lot of the remaining gaps. And then overview of cell tower infrastructure in the region. There are still many rural areas in the region that have a lack of reliable cellular phone service. The recent switch to 5G technology exacerbated this problem in rural areas. Cellular or hotspot-based access is the only way that many residents can afford to access the internet, and it is imperative that every household, business, and organization in the region is served with adequate cellular signal. Then an overview of digital equity in the region. Part of digital equity is ensuring that all homes, businesses, and organizations have access to infrastructure. But if everyone had access to broadband and cellular infrastructure, would that solve the digital divide? The answer to that is no, because residents also need to be able to afford that service. They need devices to access the service, and they need the skills to use those devices. So affordability. Even in areas where there is adequate broadband infrastructure, many residents cannot afford to connect to that service. The cancellation of the federal Affordable Connectivity Program in 2024 exacerbated that affordability issue. Device access. Many residents are unable to afford the devices that they need to access the internet. Some community institutions offer device lending or gifting programs. In many areas, demand exceeds the available devices. And K-12 students usually have a device that they can utilize throughout the school year. It is imperative that this funding for student device access is maintained in all districts. And that shows a map of the estimated number of households that don't have access to a device that meets their needs. And that was over 3,300 households in Bertie County. And then public access locations. Public Wi-Fi locations are an important part of this strategy to close the digital divide. This can include drive-up locations, as well as locations that have computers available and staff on hand to assist people. Locations can also be outfitted with backup satellite connections to serve the community in the event of infrastructure damage resulting from a natural disaster. We saw recently with Helene in the mountains where their hardline infrastructure was down for those backup satellite locations at the public Wi-Fi spots were critical for the community to connect and apply for FEMA benefits and those kind of things. This is a link that has all of the Wi-Fi locations in the region, or all of the ones that we are aware of. You can kind of zoom into each location and click on it and get the details about it, as far as whether it's just drive up or whether you can go in and use a computer, whether somebody's there to help you. So that is MideastRegionWiFiMap.com. Digital skills training. As job applications, government benefits, healthcare access, and other essential functions transition to online formats, many residents still do not know how to use a computer, even for the most basic tasks. This represents a dire gap in public education. Some groups are at a higher risk of having digital skills gaps, including low-income workers, reentry populations, seniors, and veterans. While there are opportunities for digital skills education in the region, the needs far outweigh the availability of digital skills educators, and it is important that programs are sustained and expanded to meet the vast digital education needs of the region. I have to also say on this slide that Rebecca, Jeanette, and your cooperative extension is doing really great work, and just commend you all for doing what it took to, you know, help keep her on staff with the County Cooperative Extension. She's really doing a great job in this area. And we did asset mapping, which basically categorizes everything that is already available in digital equity in our region. So those categories of support included device access, digital skills and technical support, public devices and internet, digital inclusion funding, and other things that didn't fit under that category, those categories. That is based on the National Telecommunications and Information Association's definitions. And we broke all of that down by regional and statewide organizations, and then local organizations by county. Then we have goals, objectives, and implementation actions in the plan. I'll just put the goals here in the interest of time, but there are some detailed objectives and implementation actions in there that the committee spent a lot of time thinking through. Our goal for access to devices is to increase the number of residents in the Mideast region who have access to an affordable device that meets their needs and allows them to fully participate in the digital landscape. Affordability, increase access to low-cost or no-cost broadband across the Mideast region through stipend or subsidy programs and services. Availability, improve and increase broadband connectivity throughout the Mideast region to provide residents and businesses access to reliable high-speed broadband service. Digital skills, develop technology support and educational programming that meets a variety of needs and accommodates all skill levels, empowering community members to gain the necessary skills to fully participate in the digital world. and then implementation resources, build structure and organization to support long-term digital inclusion success, and to empower partners to create their own digital inclusion programs and partnerships. And then we have priority project profiles. So went through all of those objectives and implementation actions and kind of formed projects. And we tried to make these project profiles as grant ready as possible. So those projects are device access program, device repair and technical support program, internet subsidy program, cell tower infrastructure expansion, improve the quality of broadband networks, resiliency backup networks, broadband infrastructure expansion, public access locations, digital skills training, workforce development program integration, advocacy coalition, coalition of churches, digital skilling coalition, implementation resources portal, and public information portal. And then our appendices include steering committee member lists, public survey results, public event input results, and then weighted scoring results, which is how we determined what projects to include. I wanted to also say this plan is meant for everybody across the region to be able to use to benefit your grant applications in any of these areas. So we hope that this will be really useful to everybody. Anybody can feel free to use this. Most grant agencies like to see that projects are in an adopted plan, so we hope this will be helpful for everybody to use. That plan is available on the Mideast Commission website. Just Google Mideast Commission, or you can go to mideastcom.org. I do have a couple of hard copies with me if anybody wants one. Also, if there are any community organizations that are present, we do have a implementation committee that we're kind of working together on all these things. We work monthly, so you definitely can join us if you would like to. And you do have a resolution in your packet to consider adopting, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Excuse me. You said you guys meet?
Yes, we meet on the first Tuesday of every month at 3 o'clock. And it's virtual right now, but we might occasionally get together in person, but right now it's virtual.
You need to adopt a resolution for that. That's what, yeah. We do.
Yes.
I make that motion. There. You want to finish reading? Up to you. Okay. Now I just think it'll be proper to just go ahead and read it out. The Mideast Region Digital Inclusion Plan. Whereas from summer 2024 through spring 2025, Mideast Commission staff members in partnership with the Mideast Region Digital Inclusion Steering Committee, which included members from Bertie County, drafted the Mideast Region Digital Inclusion Plan. And whereas the plan identifies priority projects to improve digital inclusion and close the digital divide in the region, including availability, infrastructure, access to devices, affordability, and digital skills training priorities. And whereas on May 21st, 2025, the steering committee recommended approval of the adoption of the draft resilience strategy. And whereas the regular meeting on September 18th, 2025, the Mideast Commission Board of Directors adopted the Mideast Region Digital Inclusion Plan. And whereas the regular meeting on December 15, 2025, the Bertie County Board of Commissioners found the content and priority projects in the draft plan to be consistent with the desired vision for the future of the region and unanimously approved to adopt the Mideast Region Digital Inclusion Plan. And now, therefore, be it resolved, the Bertie County Board of Commissioners has adopted the Mideast
region digital inclusion plan based on the outcome of this motion. We have a motion on the floor to accept this digital plan by Commissioner Vice Chairman Hoggart, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. It is adopted.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much. Now we will move to our financial summary and budget amendments by Finance Director Willie Carroll. How you doing, Mr. Mack?
Doing well. Thank you for having me this evening. Hope you all are doing well and thawed out from yesterday. First thing I'd like you all to consider approving tonight is our budget amendment. There are two items tonight. Originally, I came before you with the carryover from the grant that the Veterans Service Officers have received. They had a payable that we had to back in, so there was not as much in the carryover coming forward in the new year. So this just reduces that carryover amount. The second one is an additional appropriation or allotment that the Department of Social Services received for emergency placement of those clients that they serve. Your approval?
The motion.
Yes, sir.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion to approve by Vice Chairman Hoggett, second by Commissioner Michael White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
You all have two monthly reports for you tonight, your October ending report and your December, or excuse me, your November report. I'll do a quick on the October one. If you'll recall, part of the reasons that our revenues are lagging compared to the prior year, or rather our expenditures or revenues, has to do with the grants that we received in earlier years that we are now expending. The big one is the emergency management grant that we've expended about $2 million so far. So in October, compared to October of 24, our financial cash on hand decreased from $12,854,000 to $10,313,000. Which is basically a decline of $2.54 million. In your November one, you will see that our differences have improved by about $800,000. A lot of that has to do because, as we talked about in our last meeting, in the months of November, December, and January, we get our influx for our tax revenues coming in. So at the end of November 30th of 24, our cash balances were $14,837,875.95. At the end of November 30th of 25, our cash balances were $13,072,939.89, a difference of $1.764 million. The expenditures seem to be running in line where they should be thus far this year, as well as our revenues are beginning to peak. Any question?
Yeah, go back over this form again, since it's new. Sorry.
You're talking about the computer printout?
Yes.
Your first page is a summary of your general fund. So therefore it shows you both the revenues and the expenditure by the different departments. So your first column is our original budget that was adopted in June. The second column is our amendments or transfers or adjustments to that budget. You have your revised budget in the fourth column, your year-to-date activity as of November 30th of 25. Is in the next column, your encumbrance or your current balances on any outstanding purchase orders. And then the availability of funds is your next column. And then the last column shows you the percentage of the budget.
But the negatives on this sheet mean we have it.
That's correct.
That's what
your
the hours have
revenues or credit balances, your expenditures are debit. So it nets a zero at the end if you look at the very bottom line on that page in the budget columns. It says total general fund, zero balances for your original budget, your transfers and adjustments, as well as your revised budget. In your general fund, right now, we're running at a deficit of $1.7 million. There again, our revenues are coming in, or Bertie, like most small counties in the state, we exist and thrive based on our Avalon tax revenues. Your next one is your Department of Social Services that has a deficit right now of $368,000. The bulk of that is the transfers coming over from the general fund, which is the local portion, which is about 45 to 55% based on the expenditures and the programs that they were used for. And right now, the water department is running its revenues above its expenditures of $244,461.
Wait, what did you say about the water department?
Its revenues are exceeding its expenditures by $244,000.
All right, so this is where I get confused. If you look at the available budget, you see it says revenues and expenses. I think that's where I'm always getting confused, because it shows the expenses outweigh the revenues.
Keep in mind, if your revenues are higher negative than the debit in your expenditures, your revenues are exceeding your expenditures, thus you're at a cash positive.
Oh, I see where you're at. You're at the actual year-to-date total, and that would make sense that revenues outweigh the expenses. But if you go to the final one where it says available budget, it's negative 1.7, and the expenses are above that, 1.8.
Because you've taken in more of your revenues than your expenditures thus far. Therefore, your revenues outstanding are less than the expenditures that have been expended.
But the water department's not getting taxes. I think I'm confused.
Their revenues are coming in on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, theirs are more applicable to apply month to month. And right now, their revenues coming in any given month are exceeding their expenditures in any given month. Keep in mind, there are payments that will be coming in June for their loans that will eat some of those profits.
Okay.
What page are you on?
Page three. I guess I'm just saying, like, that really doesn't show profits. Like, I see where you're saying they have a profit of $244,000,
right,
in the middle, but at the end, it doesn't show a profit.
Because that's a budgetary piece, but the math should still be the same.
You're saying the final expenditure should not go over 1.8.
Correct.
At all.
That is the remaining outstanding expenditures. Your expenditures as a whole for that budget is 2.823 million, as are the revenues.
Okay.
Keep in mind, Michael, or Dr. White, yeah, part of that has to do with the encumbrances of the purchase orders. That may be the difference that you're looking at.
I just need to look at year-to-date and not available budget, is what I'm hearing you say.
It does give you a clearer picture. Any questions?
No, I understand. Anybody have any questions? Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
I'd be more confused.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mack. At this time, we will move to our board appointments. Our jury commission has one appointment.
Yes, Chair, we received a recommendation on the Corpus Superior Court, Ms. Angela Todd. The recommendation is Mrs. Vesta James to be appointed as a third jury commissioner.
Second.
All right. We have a jury commission appointment nominee, Ms. Vesta James, recommended by Ms. Angie. We have a motion on the floor by Mr. Saunders, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay.
Do we need to repoint the other two? The way it read?
No, sir. Just that.
Okay. It says all three through 26, 28 through 28. That's why I was asking if they need to be reappointed.
No, sir.
All right.
It's probably the same question. It's just Ms. James.
Sounds good.
All right. Now we will move to our consent agenda. The first line item is to approve the September 8, 2025 and October 6, 2025 open and closed session meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Michael White, second by Vice Chairman Hoggart. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. Second line item to approve the September 29th, 2025 work session open and closed meeting minutes.
I have a question on that. We need to move to closed session if possible.
Okay. Next line item, approve the October 9th, 2025 and October 13th, 2025 open special meeting minutes and the October 9th, 2025 special meeting closed session minutes. That motion?
I made that motion.
Have a motion to approve by by Vice Chairman Hoggart. The second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner White. All in favor? Let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Next line item to approve the October and November 2025 tax release journal.
So moved, Chair.
Second. Have a motion by Commissioner Robinson. Second by Vice Chairman Hoggart. All in favor? Let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Next line item, approve the October 2025 Register of Deeds fees and report. Second. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders, second by
Commissioner
Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Next line item, to approve bonds for Burke T. County official. Is there a motion on the floor?
I make that motion, Chair.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor by Vice Chairman Hoggart. The second.
And the bond got to be approved. Okay.
Oh, second. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
You do know what you're saying.
Yes, the bond. I was reading something else back here. That's fine.
All right.
Okay, let me do that vote again. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay. Other items. Discussion agenda. Franchise application for the non-emergency services, Mr. John Rawls.
That's why I was like, he's not moving.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You should have in your packet a non-emergency transport application from MedEx. They currently do not operate in Burke T. County. We have three local agencies that operate in Burke T. County, being Coastal Ambulance Service, Burke T. Ambulance Service, and White Oak Non-Emergency Transport. They have all been approved previously and are continuing to serve Burke T. County. MedEx would like to come in and offer transport services. Obviously, we redid the ordinance to bring it up to date months back, and they have applied by terms of the new ordinance. So I give you the application for your approval or denial of a new service.
Mr. Rawls.
Yes, sir.
We already have three.
I am 100% aware of that.
Okay.
But we cannot deny them the opportunity to apply.
Okay.
That's why
we can deny them to come to Burke T because it's no fair to the business people in the county for other people to come in and take their business.
You are not wrong. However, due to the ordinance, we have to give them the opportunity to apply.
Okay.
And it is your pleasure to either allow it or not allow it. I have my personal feelings, but my personal feelings are my personal feelings.
Right.
This is the way the county is supposed to do business.
Talk
so
to
I bring it before you to either approve or deny their application.
And talk to you after me.
Mr. Chairman, I make the motion that we deny the request.
Okay.
Mr. Man, Mr. has hand.
Yes, sir.
The manager has hand.
Yes. Chairman, I would just like to, in reviewing the ordinance, I would like to recommend that the board consult with the attorney prior to moving forward with any action regarding this matter.
Okay. Is this something we need to discuss in closed session or is this something?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
All right, we'll table this to closed session. Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Rawls. And the next line item, the consideration of ABC board's request.
I was prepared to discuss this, but we have Mr. Michael Freeman in the building with us. And so if it's okay with you all,
absolutely,
you can ask Mr. Freeman to come and speak with you specifically about the request from the ABC board.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we have two ABC board members here.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Yes, we do, as well as Mr. Baysmore. Absolutely.
They bring good in Freeman.
Good evening. Good evening.
The request is for you to sign a letter stating that it's okay for you to, for us to just give you our profits once a year. The general staff states that it should be paid every quarter. The money is the same. The only problem is we just get a ding on the audit every year stating that we are out of compliance, so not paying it every quarter. And 15 years ago, the board agreed that it was fine to pay it once a year. We just never got a letter on it. So the auditors told us that if we get a letter signed by the board, we'll be fine.
Okay. So you pretty much just need a letter stating
that
what we were already doing.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
As y'all know, we come before y'all once a year.
Right. Yes, sir. Okay.
Solicitation for the audits.
That's the ABC board number two.
You said the audit recommending that you get a signed letter stating that clarifying that you guys only give us money
once a year
instead of once per year. Saying auditors have recommended.
You're just the general. What, say that again, it's a general statute that y'all pay us once a quarter?
Yes.
So North Carolina is saying you need to pay us once a quarter, but you want us to override it and say it's all right for one? So I just want to make sure we're speaking the same language here.
Yes.
And whatever it is you're asking, we've been doing it for the last, how many years?
15 years.
Okay.
So why don't y'all just pay it once a quarter and present a big check like y'all been, I don't, It's not my audit.
It won't be a big check if we do it every
No,
quarter.
I'm saying you, at the end of the year, like where you present us with one big check, like you just say, we've given Bertie County X amount over the year, but like you just pay it quarterly like it's supposed to be paid. I'm asking. I didn't even know that was what was supposed to be happening. So that's why I'm asking.
Okay, back when we first started doing it, we didn't have any money to give it. That was why it wasn't done. We was losing money at the time. And then we would come up on the fourth quarter. And we might make some money, you know, this time of the year. So it's you know, like I said, money is the same. It's just trying to get in from get the auditor off our backs.
I can't make that recommendation. Somebody else will have to make it. If it's a general statute, I can't do it.
What what's the most convenient for your board?
Once a year, because the audit is done and we're sure what the numbers are. If we do it every quarter, you might get underpaid or overpaid.
But what does the general statute say? It said once a quarter, right?
It says should be paid once a quarter.
What say ye?
I tell you what, Mr. Freeman, instead of just shooting it down, can you be prepared to come back next meeting with that general statute so we can actually see it, make a clear determination of it, or allow an attorney a time to look over it and see?
Oh, I got it right here.
You got
it. He got it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it says annual. I mean, it's...
Right.
It says,
it says quarterly, excuse me.
Oh, it does say quarterly, okay. Well,
let me make sure I got the latest version.
Difficulty getting the money. I mean, I just need a little more justification. I'm not trying to knock what you're saying. Please understand. But I just need to know why do we need to do it other than not getting the audit itself.
Like I said, there are certain quarters are better than others.
Yes, sir.
Like this quarter. Probably be our most profitable quarter it is.
Don't y'all have CDs? It seemed like somebody presented that y'all had CDs. Do y'all ever dip into the CDs that y'all have from Baby Spin? Don't the ABC board have a CD of any kind?
Yes.
Okay. I just would kind of...
But if it's not profitable quarter, then we shouldn't be getting any money from y'all. Isn't it a percent of the sales?
Yeah. It's after all expenses are paid.
Right. So that's what I mean, if you have a not profitable quarter, then we shouldn't be getting any money. It's what I'm that's what I'm thinking.
Oh sure. We're profitable now.
Right.
We're profitable every quarter.
Well, I mean the statute's pretty plain.
It says quarterly.
Yeah.
I can't support you.
So, Ms. Freeman, you can do the distribution quarterly. And at the same time, at the beginning of the fiscal year as well, you can kind of project what you're going to be paying at the end of that quarter also. Can you do that?
Yes.
But the last 15, 20 years or so, Y'all just been doing it on a yearly basis. And nobody's gone to prison or put on an orange suit. Nobody's been sent to prison or put on an orange suit. Y'all haven't been deemed by the state ABC board or anything.
No.
But, you know, I hear what you're saying. And sometimes in some cases, and, you know, you can, y'all can hear me or you cannot hear me. I don't care which one. But sometimes you can be morally right, legally wrong. Sometimes you can be legally right, morally wrong. But at the same time, your ABC board or your store hadn't been deemed since you've been doing it. That could, okay, this one though.
Yeah.
That was for you, John.
It's for you. Walking down the middle, I would love to keep it going like it is, Mr. Pringle. The only thing is, there's so many things that we're trying to rectify in so many other departments from the past. So as I sit here and analyze, if this is something we can just go ahead and do it the way the general statutes recommend and be covered, I just think that's the best thing for us to do. And it's, but I'm one of those, if it ain't broke, you know, you don't fix it. But at the same time, the general statute, you gotta kind of gotta enforce the general statute, especially with the attorney sitting there listening to us. You know.
And the newspaper guy.
He didn't look up. But
I heard.
Yeah, but it's hard to go against the general staff. That's what I'm. That's pretty much what I'm saying. You know,
should have never gotten to us, right?
So I think, you know, at this point, I think that's something we're gonna have to deny. You know, at this time. Yeah, you know, unfortunately. You know.
I do have a question though. When are we going to get another ABC store in this county? I mean, it's traffic all down Highway 11. It's not a store between Gates County and Pitt County from on Highway 11. What can we do as a board to help you get a second store? Now, you know, this didn't go, but what can we do as a board of commissioners to help you get a second store? Because that's just one way I know that there can be some revenue brought in the county. Because right now, we don't have anything coming in. But I guarantee you, you can get another ABC store. Even during COVID, you couldn't even shut the ABC store down. It was a necessity. Why can't we get another store? Tell us what you need. Just say it. I mean,
I don't know where all of you were aware of it. We attempted.
I got that.
When Lewiston.
And I shut it down.
But you had some help too, then.
Out of
it. So you should address your question to her.
Well, we got one in Wentz.
Okay, well, we can put one down 308, but you're not going to put it in the community people in Lewiston. Already have a hard enough time walking in the duck.
Right? I'm not even saying put it in Lewiston anyway. I'm just saying we need another one. Yeah. Why can't we get one and make some profit from it? Can we find the land? Or is this boy willing to help him purchase the land? You hear that, Daniel, Mr. Frame? ABC boy, y'all hear that, right?
You have to remember one thing. Location, location,
location. Location.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Pringle. And God knows that. I mean, you know, if it was a way to make it work, I would. But that general statute, it's hard to walk with. Yeah.
It's no, we guess we're trying to get the dean off the audit.
Yes, sir. I understand.
So we just keep getting the dean on the audit.
So some quarters, if we had to get a zero check, we just get a zero check. And then I guess the end of the year, it just be what it is.
Mm-mm. I think he just told you, he's still paying once a year. He's just going to take a ding on his
own. Have y'all been dinged on anything else, Mr. Frank?
Well,
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Not making daily deposits.
Okay.
We had a squirt there where it was going every other day.
Okay. So you got to do that daily.
Deal.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Kramer. Okay. Consideration of the lobbyist contract.
So, Commissioners, as you are aware, about a year ago, and earlier this year, we went into contract. So right now we're on the contract for my lobbyist, which we have two, and that contract term is January of 2025 through December 2026. However, if you recall, during budget season, a lot of things were cut and removed from the budget, and one of those things was the funds to pay our lobbyists for the second half of this fiscal year, okay? That being said, in order for us to move forward with paying the lobbyists, we need an approval for votes from this board in order for us to do that, which would be paying two lobbyists from January through June of 2026, which is approximately $18,000.
Okay, so we're going to extend the lobbyists. We need approval for an additional $18,000.
I'll make the motion, Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Robson.
Can I just ask a question before we vote?
Sure.
Where's the $18,000 coming from?
I voted against it last time. I would be voting against it this time.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Commissioner White, first thing that comes to mind is we've got some additional, and we do have to consider this, and we, you know, put things in the budget that we're not budgeted for. It has to come from somewhere. And so I shared with you all about two or three meetings ago that we had received additional revenue that we were not expecting. And so that would be that it would come out of that additional revenue that we got that we weren't expecting.
I was talking to the governor Monday night. I didn't see our lobbyists there.
But don't. Excuse me. I
was right there, shook his hand.
Didn't you want to help us get the money?
Well, I can tell you what he's doing as far as a recommendation. I tend not to give one when it's related to political matters, but I can say that we've had recent conversations with him trying to find ways and options for us to secure the $1.7 million match that we have to match for the emergency management grant.
We also talked Reginald Spade too.
But I thought there was a match in place for that already. Well, it was 1.5, not 1.7.
Well,
is that
so? I heard two things. So one, we've not only spoken with permission of lobbyist Steinberg about that. We're reaching out to other legislators and politicians and anybody who can help us secure those funds. But yes. Congressman Don Davis just recently announced that we received $1 million, which can go towards that match. So that is part of it, but again, it's 1.7. So there's still a deficit there.
Well, and that's why I'm saying, like, we can't keep putting, like, we got additional funds that I don't know where they come from. I mean, you did tell us. I'm not saying you didn't tell us. But, like, we can't just keep saying we got this and let's throw all these things into this pot because we still have a shortfall that's going to come up with all of this that we're trying to do. So,
correct.
So the question is, do we invest $18,000 and possibly coming up with an additional, how much, $700,000?
Approximately at this point, yes, sir.
Do we invest, do we take a county as a business? Do we invest $18,000 in the possibility of obtaining the $700,000 that we may need for the match?
Mr. Chairman, you have a motion on the floor. I made the motion and second. Then was questioned by Dr. White.
Okay.
So in other words, you want to take the vote?
I'm going to take the vote.
Well, Mr. we're going to take the vote. Let me just start the process. Is there a motion on the floor?
Yes, I made the motion.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson to move forward with the contract extension with our lobbyists.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Sanders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Nay. Nay.
Okay, ayes have it, so we'll move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, we don't have people in the county making that kind of money. They go to work every day. A lot of people don't. A lot of people do.
Commissioner's report.
18.
Commissioner Robinson.
Commission report I have is I received a letter from president of the association. We're there, though. We need to be taking a real close look at our property tax. They form a committee to do a study for a new system for property taxes. And the other side of that, we all know that the property taxes will be doing the assessment. They'll be doing a revale next year. And when they do a revale on all properties, the properties going value going up, and that's good. But I plead my commission to drop your tax rate so that it will level off and it won't be a burden on the taxpayers.
Vice Chair?
I did get in a committee assignment with the association. It was Health and Human Services. Have not met yet, but you can meet virtually. Sometimes we meet there, but did get appointed there. Something else, but I can't think of right now. We kind of scheduled to go to meet the governor on Monday, but the weather held a lot of us back. But I was already in Raleigh, so I did venture over. And as I said, I did meet with him. I told him we need some help down here, and I didn't see our lobbyist there either. Been a good time for him to be there, I thought. So y'all can give me half of that 18,000, and I go there as well. I go there a lot more.
And Commissioner White?
That's my truth, and I'm sticking to it.
I don't have any updates. I should have asked this before you got to that. Were you able to get the report I asked for?
Not one that I'm comfortable with sharing at this point. Okay. However, we can plan to give you a comprehensive report.
January
meeting.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Economic development, because Allison, awesome job. Got a lot of things in the fund. Mm-hmm. I encourage business people to come and be our guests at the Aaron's House. Development. And you know, TPA is doing great. I represent the commission and the Chamber of Commerce. Laura's doing a lot of great things. We just got out the first month, some money. Getting housing, we've been ready to revamp and turn six apartments in Windsor and four apartments in Orlando, given additional housing space. The Animal Shelter Committee is anxiously waiting for the permission of this board to move forward. What you guys have been doing, there was a request for WIT none that I've been passing to the Chairman Ballas, so I don't know what's up with that. AI is when Chairman Ballas talk. BI is going to be a good interview. Y'all don't want BI. AI. I don't want to be the interview. WIT. The Virgin County High Education by Salary Center is doing soup and sandwiches on Thursdays and on Tuesdays. They're providing a service to the community in light of everything that went on with staff. The Reclamation pop-up shop. A lot of some of their proceeds, hosted by Laura Osina, is going around the county selling things and providing funds. We had a pledge for the war today. Our highest pledger, Mr. Tim Baymore, pledged $500 for anybody to come in and shop for free. Ms. Cynthia Bunch pledged, Mayor Harder pledged. So I encourage y'all to pledge, and all checks are written to Laura Osina, and money's going to the animal shelter.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Saunders.
There's homeless shelters around here.
And I'd just like to say on behalf of the animal shelter, first of all, I have gotten questions concerning what is the progress of that. Hopefully we'll be able to, by the next meeting, we'll be able to update the citizens on that. Also, I've been contacted about, or kind of getting a lot of concerns about us passing the ordinance to, as far as the tethering of the animals. And that's something that I still feel we need to discuss as a board. People contact me like I can make these decisions on my own, and I'm unable to do so. But these are some things that we will discuss going forward, and we'll update our citizens as we learn more.
And I made a comment about homeless shelters, but at the same time, I would say this: I got like three or four cats in my around my house. I feed them. I care for animals. I care for people too. Just wanted to make sure. So don't take it one way or the other. But you know, we don't, you know, have a shelter for, and it's been cold. And we might not see them, but they're homeless people in Bertie County as well. And I'm not trying to say I'm against animal shelters, not at all. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
So, can I go back to what you're talking about the tethering?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because there seems to be a lot of confusion on what has been presented to this commissioner board. And I just need to clarify, just to make sure I'm not crazy. Since I've been up here January 2023, December 2022, the board has no one has ever come to present to the board since I've been up here what they would like. I know you weren't up here yet, and you weren't up here, but
they want us to enforce people.
I have not yet to get a presentation on what it is and what the benefit.
How are we going to do it? Too?
Correct, because. Yeah. They presented to the board ahead of us, which is the only one standing is Ron.
Yeah.
So I know they want a tethering law, but I don't know what the benefits are or what they think, because I have some questions for them as well, because they've been multiple times and they seem to contradict themselves about animals not tied up and tied up. And so anyway, yeah.
I got a call from, he works with the town. And he has what he said he has, they're called bear dogs. And he said he's invested about $40,000 in his dogs. And he says, you know, he has a fence for them, but he keeps them. They are, you have to keep, he said, on the chain, but they're well taken care of. And I, you know, I'm glad you brought it up, because I did get a call. A young man works with the town. And he says they're bear dogs. And there's such thing as bear dogs. And he said he has invested $40,000. He said, but they're on the outside. But they're not suffering and they're not cold, but he had it set up. So I'm just glad you brought that up, and it just kind of came to mind. He called me and I talked with him. Matter of fact, he was one of my former students when I was working at the high school. Well, but he said a bear dog, and he said he's got $40,000 invested in. You learn every day. I'm not a hunter and all that, but. Matter of fact, I had to make a call the other night to Mr. Court Cowell, you know, the roof guy, and he was leaving from Virginia. He said he had killed about five, and he said they make some mighty good beef. He said you don't even know it from beef stew, bear meat. But anyway, but I don't want it. But yeah, $40,000.
I just wanted to, the only reason I made that statement, because I wanted people to see what we're up against as a board. You know, on one side, we have people wanting us to make sure we enforce a tethering law. And on the other side, we have people, we had a citizen come in a couple of meetings ago about she can't come out of her house or get out of her car because a dog is threatening her. Mm-hmm. So what, I mean.
And she's scared.
Yeah, what do you do? You know?
That's what she called.
And she called me also, and I called Animal Control. Animal Control came and picked the dog up and gave a ride to
gave a ride
from Lewis to this board. Yeah, so.
But I hear all of it. We hear all of the concerns, but all we can do is process and just try to make the best decision. That's all we can do. At this time, we're going to have our county manager's report.
All I have is to, I want to publicly thank all of Bertie County employees for the service to the citizens of Bertie County. And December is the month that we set aside a day, or actually a week, especially to show employee appreciation to those employees who serve our citizens so diligently. And on December 4th, we had an employee luncheon where everyone came together, had lunch, and we presented service awards to those employees who had been here 5, 10, 15, 20, and 25 years. And a number of our commissioners were able to be there and to dine and fellowship with our employees. We gave out a number of door prizes and gifts. And for the month of December, we also have a couple of things going on. We have some candy jars where employees can stop by and guess the amount of candy in the jar and be given a gift. And we also have a door decorating contest that the Board of Commissioners participated in last year as door judges. And we are scheduled to do that on December 18th. So if you all will speak with me or Clerk Davis after the meeting to confirm whether or not you're able to participate this year, we usually give out a prize for first place, second place, and third place door or office winners. And, you know, we can't serve our citizens without employees. So I'm grateful to have Grace that.
Okay. County Attorney's report.
I have nothing.
Okay. With none being said, we will now open the floor again for public comments. Having none, we need a motion then to go into closed session according to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A, 3, 4, and 6.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to go into closed session according to the general statutes. Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let us know by saying aye. Aye.
So, make a motion that we go come out of closed, go into open session.
Second.
Got it.
Third.
Motion to come out of closed session by Commissioner Robinson. Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We're officially out of closed session.
There's not going to be many in the commissioner room in a minute.
All right. Well, at this time, I need a motion that we adjourn this meeting. We got a motion to adjourn the meeting by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. Well, good night, everybody. Merry Christmas.